Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the inheritance that's ours because we're sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ. Our inheritance includes everything we need to live this life and the life to come. And this week, we're specifically focusing on the fact that our inheritance is an imperishable inheritance that's reserved for us in heaven, ready to be revealed in the last days, in the last times. Now, we've already talked a lot about it. Let's repeat some things. Let's unpack it a bit more and add to it. To appreciate our inheritance and to walk in our inheritance in this life, we have to understand that there's more to reality than what we see. We have to understand that there's more to life than just this life. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, that because of Jesus' resurrection, we have a living hope or an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. This inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. It's reserved for us in heaven. We who are being guarded by God's power through our faith till we fully inherit the final salvation that is ready to be revealed for us in the last time. Last time is a reference to the second coming of Jesus. Ready to be revealed speaks to the fact that a plan is being carried out that will be completed. Peter and the first Christians lived with the consciousness that they were part of something that would not only help them in this life, but it would outlast this life. There is way too much emphasis in the body of Christ on making this life the highlight of your existence. The Bible doesn't talk like that. There's several problems with it. This life is not supposed to be the highlight of your existence because it's only part of your existence. It's a tiny part. If you live to be 100 years old and have the greatest life anybody has ever had, old age and death, take it away. It's only a teeny part of your existence. What's 100 years compared to forever? The greater and better part of our life is ahead. First in heaven, the invisible heaven, where all who die in the Lord go when they leave their physical body. But that's not the end of the story. We've been saying this all along. There's a plan unfolding. God created men and women to become his sons and daughters through faith in Christ, and he made the earth to be home for us and himself. Both the family and the family home have been damaged by sin, corruption, and death. Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago to pay the price for sin so it can be removed from all who bow their knee to him as Savior and Lord, and they can become sons of God. At death, we pass into the unseen dimension called heaven. But when Jesus comes again, he will cleanse this earth and restore it to a fit forever home for God and his family. And we will come with him to be reunited with our bodies raised from the dead to live on this earth after it has been restored and renovated, made new. God's kingdom visibly present on this earth, and we will live here forever. The ultimate scene for the reverses of life's losses and injustices is in the life to come, first in the present heaven and then on the new earth. You have to live with that consciousness. Otherwise, you'll have trouble walking in the present provision of our inheritance. See, when you realize that all loss is temporary, unrealized hopes and dreams are only postponed, and nothing can come against you that's bigger than God, it relieves the pressure, it quells the fear, and it gives you peace and hope, which lifts you up above as you face life's difficulties. Yesterday we read what Paul wrote to slaves. They were in circumstances that more than likely weren't going to change. Very few slaves became free men. Some did, but most of them remained slaves. And Paul's instruction to them was not believe for your freedom or believe for a better job. He urged them to work as though they were, serving the Lord, reminding them that they have an inheritance, a future in the life to come where all will be made right. This perspective made it easier for them to deal with the hardships of life. Now, we left off yesterday looking at something that Paul wrote to a group of Jewish believers who were experiencing increasing pressure to reject Jesus from Jews who didn't believe in him. And the whole purpose of Paul's letter to the Hebrews is to encourage them to stay faithful to Christ, no matter what happens, because it's worth it in the end. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 34, he reminded them that when they first believed on Jesus, even though they were ridiculed and persecuted for it, they stayed faithful and they helped others in the same position. I read it yesterday. Let me reread it. But call to remembrance the former days in the which, after that you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. When you first came to faith, you were ridiculed and persecuted, but you stayed faithful, and you helped others, including myself. You even lost material possessions because of your stand. Notice, Paul says they took joyfully the loss of their material possessions. Joyful doesn't mean feel happy. We could do whole lessons on this. It comes from a word that means to cheer or encourage yourself with the reasons you have hope. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, he talked about being sorrowful yet rejoicing. Same word. So you can feel sorrowful. You can be crying and still rejoice. Because it doesn't have to do with how you feel. It has to do with choosing to cheer yourself, to encourage yourself with the reasons you have hope. I mean, think about it for a minute. Have you ever cheered your kid at an athletic event or cheered your favorite sports team? You don't stand there and, you don't stand there and say, feel good, Johnny. Put a smile on your face, honey. You say, no, you can make it. Come on. You can do this. You've trained. Whatever. I know it's hard. Dig deep. Keep running. Keep playing. You can do it. You'll make it. You'll win. And the prize is worth it. See, that's how you cheer people. That's what it means here to rejoice. They took joyfully the loss of their material possessions. They encouraged themselves with the reason they had hope. Their hope came from the fact that they knew they had a possession in heaven, a better and more enduring substance. Let me read a couple of translations. Phillips' translation says, a much more solid and lasting treasure in heaven. Basic translation says, a better property and one that you will keep forever. They understood. See, like I said, we think of heaven as clouds and harps. That is so far from the truth. Heaven is a real place. But ultimately, heaven is coming to earth, and all who are in heaven will come to earth to be reunited with their bodies, as we said earlier, to live on earth forever, and all that we lost will be restored, and we'll keep it forever. Paul goes on here in Hebrews 10, verses 35 through 37, to encourage them to hold on to their confidence. Let me read. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. What confidence? It is worth it to stay faithful, and whatever I lose will be restored to me. Why? It's part of my inheritance. It's imperishable, undefiled, reserved for me in heaven, restoration of what I've lost. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. He encouraged them to hold on to their confidence, because it carries a rich reward in the world to come. If you endure or stay faithful. That's what patience is. It's endurance. If you stay faithful, you'll receive the promise. Promise there is actually a reference to Hebrews 9:15, that those who acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord receive the unending inheritance that they have been promised. Now notice, Paul did not exhort them to use their faith to make the persecution stop. That's the kind of preaching that you hear today on TV that isn't consistent with Scripture. This is a life of troubles, afflictions, and persecutions. We are swimming upstream in a world that's going downstream in a handbasket to hell. We're going against the flow, and it causes trouble. We live in a world where things rust and break. Moths and rust corrupt. Thieves break in and steal. That's just the nature of life in a fallen world. But none of it is bigger than God. He will get us through until he gets us out. It's worth it to stay faithful because we have an inheritance that's reserved for us, which is restoration and recompense. All losses are temporary. All unrealized hopes and dreams are only postponed. It's in the life to come that those things will be realized. Jesus himself made it clear that if your priorities and perspective about this life and the life to come, you will have the provision you need to live this life. It may not be a big house, but you will have a big house in the life to come if that's something you desire. But you'll have food, clothing, and shelter. Remember, and we're coming near the end here, so I really don't have time to get into it, but let me just briefly address it. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told his followers not to worry about where food and clothing will come from, the necessities of life. And then he pointed to the birds and the flowers. He said, they eat, they're dressed. Why? Because your heavenly Father takes care of them, and you matter more to him than a bird or a flower. If he takes care of these creatures, how much more is he going to take care of you? But Jesus ends this up with, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. If you understand that there is a kingdom coming, the kingdom of heaven is coming to earth in connection with the return of Jesus Christ to this world, all will be made right. The curse of corruption that's in this earth will be removed. All loss restored. All injustice made right. The best is yet to come for those who know the Lord. If you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, you'll get taken care of in this life. Present provision is part of your inheritance. We'll pick it up here tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.